Now, remember on last time we were together, I said nothing is yours until you understand it. How many of you understood what I said when I made that statement? I'll give you an example. My bread recipe. It wasn't mine until I worked it, until I took it home and possessed it and got the proof of it. See, the lady that taught me how to make bread, she made her living from bread. But when she taught me, I still had to go home and do what she told me to do to get the same results that she got. And it's been more than 30 years, and I'm still using the same recipe. And guess what? I'm still getting the same results. You know why? Because it's mine now. It's flowing out of me. It's not something I do as a hobby. Oh, you're catching on. So nothing is yours until you understand, until it is revealed in you. When I saw that I could do it, see, inside, I saw myself making the bread. And that's key. Inside, see, you got to redo that picture you got inside so what you are hearing can have something to adhere to. So it can attach itself. So it must be revealed to you on the inside. This is the reason so many believers can't get the word to work, is because they are doing simply what someone else has said or instructed them, but they don't see themselves being or doing that on the inside yet. Now, there's such a thing as you obey, because you can obey a command and you can get results, but how many of you know that doesn't last until you get it inside of you? Every time you need something done, you're going to require somebody to help you when you should know from the inside. See, because every time you go to make bread, you shouldn't have to call me. It's because you don't see yourself making bread. You see me making bread. Got it? Remember the principle I share with you. I'm just recapping right now. God will not show you what you don't want to see. And God will never tell you what you don't want to know. And he will never take you where you don't want to go. So you don't have to fear about God pushing something on you that you don't want. He's not that kind of God. The devil is, but God isn't. Because there is a hunger and a desire that must come, that create inside of us asking. This is why when you deal with young children, you need to look at them. Once they learn how to talk, it's always why and why and why and why. Why? Because in them is an innate desire to discover. It's called hunger and thirst. They're hungering to learn their surroundings, their environment. And you should never treat it as though it's something, oh, get out of my way. They're discovering. Now, how you know, sometimes they can be pesky. Yeah, you know, all kids do that, even the grown kids. But they're discovering, and they discover by asking questions. And when you discourage them from asking questions, you telling them, shut up, I don't want you to learn. Oh, I just helped somebody. See, because when one of my spiritual children or my natural children come to me and ask me a question, I want to answer them. Especially, if it's a valid question, and so does your God. If you got a valid question, God wants to answer you. That's a promise he gave you. He says, if you hunger and thirst after righteousness, you shall. Shall is a term that means must. That means he cannot deny you. You must be filled. He's going to give you what you're asking. Now, if you're not pursuing understanding your righteousness in God, God can't answer what you won't ask. So what we do a lot of assuming. and presuming that we know God, and we just keep right on filling in. You know, when I was younger, I'd take a piece of another puzzle and try to make it fit in the puzzle because, you know, you might have got a puzzle where some of the pieces were missing, and you just trying to fill it in. So because the sky was blue, you try to take the blue from another puzzle and put it in there, and it didn't fit. Well, that's the way a lot of believers are. Instead of asking the one that made you. This is why Jesus told the disciples. This is why I speak to them in parables. Because based on a person's hunger, they're going to see or hear. And if you're not hungering for the things of God, you're not going to hear or see very much. Now, sitting in this room, oh, yeah, you'll hear with your natural ear. You will see with your natural eye, but it would never enter into your heart. The bird's going to come right by and steal it from you. Why? Because you're not thirsting for it. You're not hungering for it. So my suggestion to you is to come to church empty and hungry. You know, like when y'all go to the buffets? You know. So according to Matthew 5:6, it says, blessed, empowered to prosper are they which do hunger and thirst after God's way. That word righteousness means God's way of doing everything. Then he's going to fill you with what? Understanding. Oh, Jesus. And never stay in a church where your pastor just teach you about salvation, but he refused to teach on healing or praying in tongues. Why? Because they're going to limit you. And then you can limit yourself. You can be in a good word church like this one and then limit God because of your own personal hunger or lack of hunger. When you need a bowel movement, crude example, it's you don't have an appetite for more food. You're just trying to get out what's already in. When if you did some spiritual exercise, it'll get some movement. Because that keeps you wanting more food. It's when you're trifling and lazy about doing the things you're being taught, you get blocked up. Because you lose your desire to work with God. See, there's a hunger and a thirst. Because I just want to be with him. Then I told you about last Sunday, if you don't believe in tithing and giving, you'll never do it. And guess what? God's not going to make you. He's not angry with you, but just some things you'll never access. Because tithing and giving, I'm going to make it short because I'm not going to go back and reteach that lesson. But tithing and giving gives us visibility into the spirit realm. That's the only way you can access it. Please hear me. For all those who think tithing and giving is not part of the New Testament, this is why you're ignorant. And you talk like an ignorant person. Because when you don't access the ways of the kingdom through tithing and giving, you can't access God without obeying the law of tithing and giving. It gives you visibility. And you need visibility in our world today. You need the cutting edge of the kingdom coming into your everyday life. Not this phony make-believe stuff. I don't care who told you tithing is not for today. They are not God. You need to go to the Bible and read it for yourself. Ask them the next time they give you that discussion, prove it by scripture. That tithing is not for today. They can't find it. Grace didn't erase it. Because we're living in grace. Don't mean it erased tithing and giving. This is a first law principle. All right. You remember that? I told you, what does principle mean? Y'all talk back to me. Principle means what? First law. And I told you there are two first laws. The first one is tithing and giving. Everything in the kingdom of God operates according to Genesis 8:22. Seed time and harvest. And as long as the earth remains, are we still on the earth? Then it's going to keep right on going. That means you must plant in order to have a harvest. This is not the way I fare. This is kingdom. And it requires your participation. And tithing and giving and tongues, I told you on last Sunday, have been the two most controversial subjects in the body of Christ and in religion. You want to make people upset? Start talking about one or the other. Especially if it's something they don't believe in yet. And there's a reason why. Because these are the two necessary, say necessary, principles to access all the other principles. You're going to lack something when you're not in these two first laws. You're going to always be lacking in your life. Oh, Jesus. This is why you must decide today that I'm going to always be a tither and a giver, and I'm going to always pray in tongues. You talk about acceleration. And what I found out is that most Bible-toting believing Christians stop praying in tongues. Those that used to pray in tongues don't pray in tongues the way they used to. Now you know why our whole nation is messed up. And it's the church's fault. It's not the political arena fault. It's the church's fault. And we need to assume responsibility. And don't lie to yourself. You're just as much a part of it as I am. I'm not going to assume all the blame, and neither do you, but we must take our part in it. If we're not teaching the kingdom, then you don't understand your authority and your dominion. You're trying to grab hold of faith, and what you're going to attach that faith to? When you don't understand you are a citizen of the kingdom. And your faith is going to work by your obedience. Love is not a feeling. Love is obedience. Jesus said, you love me if you obey me. That's the rule. That's the rule. And we want to disobey and still say we right with God. He says, no, you don't love me if you don't obey me, because love is not an emotion. It's a decision to obey. And because of your obedience to the tithe and the offering and praying in tongues, he says, ask what you will. You'll catch it next week. All right. So let's see now if I can get into today's training. See, because we train here. At this church, we are training church. We're not just trying to give you something to holler. I want you to go home with an understanding about something. Now, I'm going to open the door this morning, and it's called the role of the governor. Now, governor has everything to do with government. This is just not a political term. This has everything to do with government. What is a kingdom? A kingdom is the governing influence of a king over his territory, impacting that territory with his will. I'll say it again, because I know you want to write it down. A kingdom is the governing influence of a king over his territory, impacting that territory with his will. So the church is not a religion, but a government agency in the earth on behalf of the kingdom of God. I'm going to keep going back over these principles because I need you to understand. So until it gets rooted into you. All kingdoms, say all kingdoms, have territories, and the territories under the king's direct physical jurisdiction is called his domain. When you live in the same territory as the king where he physically lives, that is called his domain. We're going to learn something this morning. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm going to learn this morning. And I ain't going to let the devil steal it. Then there are territories owned by the king, but not under his direct physical rule. These are called colonies. The king owns them, but he does not physically live in them. They are called colonies. So where the king lives physically is called his domain, but where the king rules but does not live physically is called colonies. I want you to get that. However, all colonies are property of the kingdom. They still belong to the king. Just because he doesn't live there does not mean he doesn't own them. You got it? America started out that way. We started out as 13 colonies. Y'all remember that? Though this in today's school, I don't know if they're even teaching history anymore. But when we were coming up, we were taught about the 13 colonies because we were still subject to Great Britain. We were sent out from Great Britain and to begin a new territory on behalf of the king. But America decided that they was tired of the rules and regulations of Great Britain. So in 1775, what took place? The Revolutionary War. It's still history. It's still in the book, people. Go read. Get your history book. Go online and see if I'm right. In 1775, we had what they call the Revolutionary War. It lasted for 13 years, almost a year per colony. It lasted for 13 years, and America got its independence. On one hand, it seemed good, but now they were no longer attached to Great Britain and Great Britain's wealth. Now you got to take care of yourself. Now let's see if we can, if the Holy Spirit and I can get you to see this very important first law of the role of the governor in relation to you and myself. Heaven has a king and is under the direct physical rule of God, because that's where God lives. God lives in the third heaven. That's his physical domain. You can call it home country. The devil said, how many of y'all remember the thing said, you can call me Lenny. just funny stuff. But anyway, so we refer to it as God's domain or his kingdom, because that's where he physically rules and lives. Look at Psalms 24, verse 7. When Case was singing King of Glory, I said, that girl read my scripture for the day. Look at Psalms 24, verse 7 through 10. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of Glory shall come in. Who is this King of Glory? The Lord. Now, the word Lord is not just you, my Lord. No, that means owner. Say owner. Lord means owner. You want to write that one down. Lord means owner. So when you say, Jesus is my Lord, you are confessing he is my owner. Woo, Jesus. That will help some of y'all talk right. He is my owner. But we made that word Lord just be something we say to get a thrill on. No, it's confessing he's my owner. He owns me. And he does. You may not act like it, but he owns you. Okay. Who is this King of Glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of Glory shall come in. Who is this King of Glory? The Lord, the owner of many, many armies. The Lord of hosts. The owner of many armies. He is the King of Glory. Selah. Pause and think about that for a minute. So Lord means owner. And you don't get to vote the owner in. I How many of you understand that? We've been in a democratic system so long that if we don't understand kingdom the way we should, because we never had to live under a king or a queen. People that's lived in these kind of systems, they understand the Bible better than we do. Mm-hmm. We've had a difficult time transcending into a kingdom mindset because we never had to live under a king. You grew up with voting. And you should vote because we have the right to. Don't forget to vote on Tuesday. However, you don't vote in an owner. He's king over all territories. Heaven is the home country. I'm going slow. Then this king, this Lord, decides he wants to extend his territories. And he creates the universe, which is never ending in itself. Because scientists are saying the universe are constantly expanding. So God meant for it to never have an end. When you own everything, you can do that. Ah, Jesus. He created the universe, which is a physical territory, but not located in heaven, where he lives. Am I going too slow for some of y'all? Good. Earth is a colony of heaven. Earth is a colony of heaven. Stay with me. I'm going somewhere. Because I can hear your mind going, what does this have to do with the governor? Just hold on. You'll discover. Now, the purpose of the colony is to extend the purpose or the will of the king, not establish something different. You can't start your own government in somebody else's house. I'll say that again. You can't start your own government in somebody else's house. That's illegal. In someone else's territory. You have to first bind a strong man. And since God can't be bound, the devil can't throw him out of office. Because the devil is in no comparison to God Almighty. We're learning this morning. We're not trying to get a feel in the oohs and the ahs. We want to learn. Because we're hooking up to this kingdom. Amen? Kings and kingdoms administrate their will in their colonies through governors. I say it again. Kings and kingdoms administrate their will in their colonies through governors. Now, a governor is sent to each colony to make that colony look just like heaven. The idea and the goal is to make the colony look just like heaven. In earth, as it is. Where? In heaven. Is that clear? Okay. This is important. All right, let's keep going. The way a king extends his influence to a colony, he doesn't do it directly, but sends a person to live in that colony that represents him. Oh, the Bible is going to become really clear when you start studying. I'm telling you. So the king is not going to move to earth. He's going to send a governor. Who is the king? Jesus. Then Jesus said, I'm sending you. Okay, y'all getting there. In a kingdom, you never appoint a governor from the territory. You never appoint a governor out of the territory. The governor is sent from the home country because the role of the governor is to establish the kingdom of the king in that territory. And if you are the territory, you don't know the will of the king yet. So we cannot put in office a governor from the territory. I know y'all learning, aren't you? I know. That's how easy it was for me. God, I mean, this was so good. So it has to be someone who knows the kingdom, who knows the king's mind, who knows the king's will, who knows the king's intention. Therefore, it must be someone who lives with the king, knows the king, understands the king, knows the king's heart and desire for that territory. Ooh, Jesus. This is why every representative sent to the 13 colonies before we declared our independence were British. They were not called Americans. They were British. And if we had remained under their jurisdiction, we would be driving on the left side and we would be drinking a spot of tea. No coffee. Coffee is the drink of America. But had we remained under Great Britain's jurisdiction, you would like tea more. And you would be driving on the left side of the street. And the steering wheel would be on the left side of the car instead of the right. Because everything would conform to Great Britain's standard. Didn't care what you wanted or liked. The will of the king was being established. Ooh, Jesus. He says, I'm covenant with you. That makes me remember Deuteronomy 28. He says, why? So that I can establish my covenant. This is why he'll make you rich. So he can establish his covenant, not yours, his. Ooh, Jesus. Thus, we can safely say that the key to kingdom influence is the governor. I say it again. The key to kingdom influence is the governor. Why? The governor, you want to write this one down, is the presence of the absent king in the colony. The governor is the presence of the absent king in the colony. This means that when the governor is present, you do not need the physical presence of the king. In other words, the king does not need to be where you present for you to feel their influence. Ooh, that's important. I'm leading up to something because we have denied the work of the Holy Spirit. You need to go back and listen to the videos of Pastor DJ Davis teaching on the Holy Spirit. Because I'm not going the route that he's going, but I'm showing you how to connect it. Why we need the governor. So the governor is the presence of the absent king in the colony. Jesus said that the kingdom of heaven has arrived on the earth. That's what he said. Good news. The kingdom is here. That means the influence of an invisible kingdom was brought to a physical, tangible earth through Jesus Christ. Oh, you're going to look at John 14, 26. See, we put a lot of emphasis, and I don't know if I get to all of that today, but we put a lot of emphasis on things, and I mean, they're good things, but it's almost like when you're learning to pronounce a word. If you put the emphasis on the wrong part, you will say the word incorrectly. You must know where to put the emphasis in sounding out the syllables. Because if not, you're going to say root instead of root. because you're putting the emphasis in a different spot than where it was intended to be. But when the Comforter is come, whom I was sending, he says, I'm sending. He's sending who? He's sending the governor. He's going to send, he's given us a promise of sending the governor. The king can't stay here. Oh, Jesus. I'm sending the Comforter, who I will send unto you from the Father. He's coming where? From the home country. Even the Spirit of truth, which proceeded from the Father, he shall talk about me. He's going to talk about me. He's going to show you me. Because you'll never discover Jesus without the Holy Spirit. Ooh. John 16, verse 7, he says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the governor can't come. Ooh, I don't want to get ahead of my notes. He said, the governor can't come if I don't leave. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Listen very, very carefully. The Holy Spirit is never called the king. Only Jesus calls himself king. Amen. When the king is in the territory, you don't need the governor to activate. This why, if you were living in the third heaven, you don't need the work of the Holy Spirit in heaven. He's here in the earth. He is the governor that's been sent by the king to administrate on the king's behalf the will of the king. So as long as the king is present, you don't need a governor. Listen, as long as Jesus was on the earth, there was no activity of the Holy Spirit because the governor represents the king in his absence. Oh, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. We are in the dispensation of the Holy Spirit, not Jesus. Jesus, the king, is no longer here. The governor has been sent to train you. And most people ignore the Holy Spirit. And we put most of our emphasis on talking to Jesus. When Jesus said, that's not the way I set it up. That's why you don't get what you're asking for. He said, because when you ask, you're asking what? Amiss. Because you're ignorant of kingdom. He said, you don't pray to me, you pray to the Father in my stead or in my name, because I've given you dominion authority to use my name. That's the only way you're going to talk to the Father, is that you are a representative of the king. But the governor has been sent to tell you what to pray. So you don't pray dumb prayers. This is why you need to pray in the Holy Ghost. You don't need to go speak a whole lot of stuff over stuff. You need to pray in the Holy Ghost. And when you come out of prayer, you need to hear what the Spirit of God is saying to you, because he's the governor and he'll tell you the will of the king about your issue and give you the answer. But if you don't think you need to pray in tongues, you're going to walk away with your answer or your truth. As the world can say, this is my truth. That's why the world is messed up right now, because that's your truth. I say it again, the more I learn about the kingdom, the clearer the Bible becomes. So whenever a king leaves a colony, he has to do something. He has to send a governor immediately. Now, why does earth need the governor? And why did the king come to bring the governor back? Glad you asked. See how you asked? You didn't know you were asking. Because we lost the governor. When Adam played dumb, which he wasn't dumb, he disobeyed God. Let me read my notes because I want to. We lost the governor. The loss of the governor was the motivation for the redemption plan of God. Y'all got to hear this. Because we done made a whole lot of emotions on the cross. And I'm not against that because I know it took the cross. But this is where the emphasis has to come back. Remember, I just told you. You put the emphasis in the wrong place, you're going to get the wrong word. Going to heaven was not the motivation for Christ coming to earth. Christ came, the Christ the King, Jesus Christ the King came to earth because we lost the governor. And the territory cannot function if both the king and the governor are absent. The people become chaotic. And that's what we had in the Old Testament. So that's why in the Old Testament, God himself had to get involved. Because he had to establish the pathway. So he chose a set aside people. He says, now, and that's why the Bible says he winked at some of the dumb stuff they did. Because he knew they were without a king and the governor. And people become blind, deaf, and dumb when there is no rule or order. Are you learning this morning? So where there's no rulership or order, mankind becomes self-destructive because both the king and the governor was absent. Adam saw to it that the Holy Spirit had to leave. He couldn't stay because Adam declared his independence from heaven. The Bible calls it death. So the rebellion of Adam was a declaration of independence from the kingdom of heaven. Whenever you declare your independence from the home country, you become responsible for your own future. When God says, according to Jeremiah 29:11, I think it is 11:29, I get mixed up. But he says, I know the plans I have for you. Plans of hope and a future. I know how you're supposed to turn out. You don't. The plan for you is in the Holy Spirit. And you got to mind that out of him by praying in tongues. There is no other way of getting it. You're not going to lay down and have a dream and believe in just dreams only. It doesn't work that way. You got to have fellowship with the Holy Spirit to mine out of him the will of God for you. Because according to the word, if you go back and look, nations are talking about people, not a particular area. You are declared a nation. And as a nation, you need the governor. Because everybody connected to you going to have problems living. Because there's no governor. And if you're not born again, for sure, for sure. Are you ready? Are you still learning? Amen. The worst word in the kingdom is the word independence. There's nothing more dangerous or threatening to a kingdom than the spirit of independence. This is why when you go to church and they say, oh, we don't have no covering. Fly away. It's a dead end road. Because God didn't set up the government that way. Every place, every outpost that's called your local assembly should be connected and have some kind of divine covering that you can trace. Ah, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. See, that's what Adam declared. Adam declared his independence. Adam said, I don't want to be under heaven's jurisdiction anymore. See, Adam had direct access to heaven. He could go in and out of heaven anytime he wanted to. God could come in and out of the earth anytime. He was living under the physical jurisdiction of the king and declared treason. He says, I don't want to live under your jurisdiction anymore. This is why the Bible says Adam knew what he was doing, even though the woman was deceived. Adam knew the penalty. And he passed that penalty on to everybody that came out of his loins. He says, I don't want to be subjected to heaven anymore. So he disobeyed the king. He broke the law. He violated the royal contract that heaven legally established with earth. Because God believes in covenants and contracts. And he had contracted with man that man would have use of the earth for 6,000 years. And he gave us dominion over everything on this earth. And Adam gave it to the devil. And look what mess the devil has gotten our earth into. You got more floods and hurricanes and tornadoes and people starving. And, you know, they're talking about not enough land. They want to kill babies so it make more room. For who? Them? If you want to get rid of some people, go ahead and get rid of yourself. Don't kill the babies. Give them a chance to live. If you think it's too many people on earth, go ahead and die. That's how we fix that. Just go ahead and die. You ain't got to make all this crazy law. Just go ahead and die. Be one less person. You said that's kind of crazy. Well, the world is crazy. And if you believe anything they're saying right now, you look on the tipsy side yourself. You can't believe what you're hearing out there. Now keep in mind, earth is heaven's property. Adam had no right to do what he did. Because he was given dominion, don't give him right to do what he did. That's why he broke a law. It's no different than when you give your a secretary or you give somebody else, you give your children power of attorney. Does not mean they remove you. You ain't dead yet. They don't remove you because they got power of attorney. They're operating on your behalf. You own the house. You own the house. They don't have a right to say you can't stay there. When you own the house, just because you gave them power of attorney. Say limited power of attorney. This is why you got different kinds of power of attorney today. Because a lot of children grew up and thought when their parents got old that they could just do anything they want to do with their parents. And a wise senior citizen will have power of attorney. And you give it to people you trust. That's just a word for those. You don't give it to all your kids because everybody's not interested in you living long and strong. So I'm telling the truth. You look how they're killing the parents today. How they're killing the wives, the children, the mamas and daddies. Because they want your money. They want your cut. The boy went and killed his mama because he wanted her money. Had somebody kill her for $75. You tell me that's right. Okay. Because he wanted what she had, and he didn't want to wait for her to die. And, I mean, she was in her 40s, 50s. And he had his mama killed. You don't think we need the Holy Spirit? You better wake up. I don't know what news you're listening to, but it's not the right news. So keep in mind, the earth is still heaven's territory. According to Psalms 24, verse 1, the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world, and everything that dwell in it, from the cows to you. Mm. 1 Corinthians 10, 26 reiterates that. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. I wanted to give you an Old Testament and a New Testament for those that don't think this is relevant in the New Testament. What you going to do with 1 Corinthians 10, 26? It said the earth belongs to the king. And everything on the earth belongs to Jesus. You need to come to grips with that. You were bought with a price. You are not your own. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. See, Adam stole something that wasn't his and gave it to someone who didn't even deserve it. Now, the effects of Adam's treason was the loss of the governor. The Holy Spirit had to leave. Are you paying attention? The moment you sever a relationship with the home country, then the kingdom withdraws the governor from the colony immediately. They can't let the governor stay there. It's no longer accepted. You're coming under a new Lord now. You got a new Lord. You got a new Lord. You got a new Lord. You got a new owner. Now, to some, this sounds like America had freedom, and I thank God for the America, but we're still believing that God is a part of our nation, amen? And we're believing for God to come in here and bring us back under his jurisdiction as a nation. Now, mankind is living with the penalty of death over his head because a kingdom law was broken. What law, you ask? Do you think God just gave Moses the Ten Commandments just because the Israelites was present? No, these were laws that were already established. And the first one, the very first one in Exodus 20 and 3, thou shalt have no other gods before me. See, Adam was to serve God and to love him. So what a mess mankind has made. And guess what? When the new owner took over, crime was his hallmark. The new owner immediately began to commit crime, causing mankind to kill. The first crime was a brother killing a brother. For all y'all black lives that matter, a brother killed a brother. And the popo didn't run in there and get nothing and do nothing about it. It's only when the opposite skin color that we turn it into a war. But brother against brother been doing it since Cain and Abel. And ain't nobody saying nothing in the hood. Ain't no governor in the hood. Y'all know. Because wherever the governor is missing or is not ruling, there will always be murder and all kinds of lawlessness. So going to the hood is an example of having no God present. But you got a church on every corner. See, God ain't in them buildings because they should be touching lives and changing them. Mm. They're not teaching kingdom. They're teaching going to heaven. When you die, you're going to heaven. God don't need you in heaven. He needs you here. He's not longing for you to come to heaven. That's a man-made doctrine. God never told us to put all our desire on going to heaven. He needs you to work here. He wants you to live long and strong so you can keep doing his will. Woo thing. So we see the first thing the unemployed demon, a.k.a. the devil, does once he takes over is to get one brother to murder another brother. We got the initiation of a game. Crime is on the horizon, Jesus revealed who the devil is in John 8. Look at John 8, 44. I'm getting ready to close because I know y'all about to tilt over right now. Those looking by live stream or listening by radio, you need to come on and be a part of these services where you can hear the whole message. Amen. Jesus revealed who the devil is in John 8, 44. Jesus didn't talk much about the devil. He just did opposite. He did everything that the devil was doing. Jesus did opposite of that. The devil was bringing sickness, Jesus did healing. He bound people up, Jesus made them free. Are you there? You are of your father, the devil. Ooh. So that means the devil got some children. Not legal children. Stolen children. The devil don't ever, he can't initiate stuff. And y'all so, listen to me. He can only take what you have and use it. He cannot initiate it. You have to give him his power. He can deceive. That's all he can. He has the ability to deceive. Jesus said, you of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. Because that's all he can. He was a what? Say it out loud. He was a what? A murderer from when? The beginning. Cain and Abel. He killed Adam first. And to ensure that death will reign all the way through all mankind, he had to take Adam out. Adam didn't die physically. He died what? Spiritually. And he abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in the devil. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. For he is a liar, 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 pants on fire, and the father of it. Now we need the Holy Spirit to operate discernment through us to detect the lie. Because you're not going to discern lies on your own. They're tricky. Sound real good. You need to pray in tongues. John 10:10 says, the thief cometh not. Now listen to me. He's not coming to hold your hand. Listen, if he tell you he's going to give you richness, you're going to have to sell something out to become rich under the devil's regime. Every person, every celebrity, every musician that is under the regime of the devil has to sell out to him. He won't make you rich. And see, what we do, we get scared of selling out to God when God owns everything, including the devil. He already know where the devil going. The devil has an end, and it's coming very quickly. That's why he's doing as much as he can before Jesus returns. Because he know the king is about to come into the earth again. And he got, look, and when the king show up, he know he's in trouble. He's already in trouble with you in the earth. But until you realize who you really are, he's going to manipulate you. He keeps you defeated. He says, the thief coming not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. That's his whole mission. He says, but Jesus said, I'm come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. When will we believe that scripture? Jesus is not putting sickness on you. He's not killing no babies to teach us. He don't need no babies in heaven to pick no flowers. Quit lying to people. You got to answer God for those kind of lies because you're lying against the word. Jesus said, I came to give you abundant life. He didn't take that baby. Your ignorance or your lack of something or something you didn't know. Or the person didn't know. There are some things that you can't overtake is a person's will. You don't know what law they set in motion that caused them to die. You can't blame God for somebody else's decision. No more than you can blame him for yours. When you laid down and committed adultery and fornication, you can't blame God for that. You decided to do that. I know you got enough sense to understand that part, right? When you told that lie, did you ask God, could you lie? Okay then, you know exactly what I'm talking about. So let's stop blaming God for stuff that you're ignorant about. Because God didn't take it. He didn't make any babies malformed or deformed, or he didn't make them sick. So you can learn long-suffering. It's a lie from the pit of hell. It's a lie from the devil. He had to stop being the king and stop being your Lord. See, Lord in the kingdom of God, when he takes ownership of you, he provides, he looks out, he protects you according to Psalms 91. He does everything for you. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He's not bringing all that confusion in my life. That's from the devil. That heartache you experienced, God didn't send it. He's not trying to listen. If God sends sickness and problems to teach you something, you should have a whole bunch of them because you ought to welcome them. And you ought to be the strongest Christian in your church. But since that's not the case, then who really sent the mess to you? Okay. We got to give honor where honor is due. The devil is due all that honor. Sickness and disease didn't come from God. There is none in earth as it is in heaven. There is no sickness in heaven. There is no death in heaven. There is no shortages in heaven. And you're coming from a kingdom as an outpost in the king's territory. I'll talk a little bit more. I know I'm getting ready to close because I'm getting excited. There are only two kingdoms in the earth. One is controlled by Satan and one is controlled by Jesus. And you are operating in one or the other because you cannot have two lords. You cannot have two lords, two owners. You're either owned by the devil or you're owned by the Lord. Fess up. Which one is it? Which one is it? Come on. You can tell me. You know. Because you cannot serve God and the devil at the same time. God said to Adam, now the devil is your new Lord, but he's not going to take care of you like I did. It's what Jesus said in essence. The devil steals your life so he can destroy your life. Because he hates you. You made in God's image. You look just like God. And you know, just from a natural standpoint, when you see somebody look like that person that you can't stand and they related to them, you don't like them either. Jesus came to give us abundant life. He says, I have come back to the territory to bring you life and not just barely making it, but I've come to give you life in its fullness until you overflow. Okay, write this down. The most important promise, and we're getting ready to close. That's my third closing. Got one more. The most important promise made by the government of heaven is the return of the governor. Not the promise of you going to heaven. Woo, Jesus. According to Galatians 3:14, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Colossians 1:26, verse 26 and 27. even the mystery which have been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints or to his children, to whom God would make known what is the riches, of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So we have made the promise going to heaven, leaving earth, us sitting by the throne and eating grapes. Ain't nothing that happening like that. You get to heaven, you going to work. We have made the promise so distorted that we have declared a message that Jesus never, ever taught. That's why we got to teach the kingdom. The promise has to be what we lost. Okay, repeat this after me. Man fell from dominion over the earth. When man fell, the governor, who is the Holy Spirit, was recalled back to heaven. Therefore, a promise was made by the government of heaven to restore the governor back to earth. This was Jesus' ultimate goal. Jesus came to bring the governor, because only the king can introduce the governor. He didn't come here to establish religion. He came to bring the governor. That was his ultimate goal. And since Jesus fulfilled his assignment, he has to go back to heaven. He gets to go back to heaven. But to bring law and order, the governor has been sent from the whole country, the home country. The sole purpose of the governor is to reveal the mind, the ways, the desires, and the intentions of the king. Who is the king? Jesus. So we don't need rituals and religion. We need the governor. Did you learn anything today? Amen. Hallelujah.